on? Okay. I'm Laura Westbrook, and we wanted to share with you this morning what some things that we are doing to prepare. And I have two of my very dear friends here with me. Nancy Meisner is going to be sharing some things that she does too, as well, to prepare. And my friend Nancy Dunnewin is coming up, and she's going to share as well. It's very important when we're talking about preparing that you have a supply of food on hand. And we know that God ultimately is, we have to trust in Him and that He will help us, but we have to do our part as well. And so it's important that we prepare for our family and for our friends, maybe others who've not prepared. And so that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit. If you don't have a supply of food for 72 hours, I would encourage you that that's where you should start, to think about things that you would need for 72 hours. And then once you have that, think about what you need for a week and get those supplies. And then after you have that, 3 months. Prepare for 3 months. After you have that, 6 months. And eventually a year. I think it would be the best to have enough, that you would have enough food for a year that you could live on, and extra for your friends if they come over. You can buy things, and I didn't go out and just buy a whole year's supply of food, but when I go to Costco, I'll get some extra things, or when something's on sale, I'll get some extra things, so you kind of keep your eye out. There's co-ops also. If you're not a member of a co-op, there's different co-ops. Azure is a co-op near us. There's Mountain People. There's different co-ops in different areas, and I'm sure you have some down here, where you can get bulk grains and legumes and nuts and all kinds of supplies at a reduced price. You won't pay as much as you pay maybe at a health food store. And so that's one thing that you can start doing right away wherever you are. When you start having, if you have a garden right now, that's great. Start saving some of that food every year. And as you get a bigger garden, then you're going to have more things that you need to preserve and save. And you can buy your stuff, of course, but the best way is to do it yourself. And you can dry and freeze and can, and those are the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. That's right. Thank you for bringing that up. It's cheaper, I think, too, probably. It's a lot more work, but it's cheaper and it's more nutritious when you do it yourself. There's different books and things that you can get to help you, and I have one called Stocking Up 3. And I find that it's very helpful, and I use it as a resource. So when I'm canning, and I think, hey, how long is that supposed to be in there? And I look it up, and it tells me how long applesauce is supposed to be in the canner. It also tells you about foods, all different kinds of foods, and what is good for drying, what kind of foods are good for drying, for canning, for freezing, and also for saving in a cold storage. And it gives lists of all kinds of foods. It tells you about harvesting and how to harvest it if you're not familiar with when to pick the things and when it's the best time to can it or to dry it. I had a friend and she decided to pick her apples early. I think they were a little green and she wanted to get the canning over with all of a sudden, and so she canned up all these apples and it was so sour tasting. So you want to make sure that your food is the right at the right time. And it talks about drying and canning, and it's a whole wonderful resource book. And I'm sure you can find things like this online and information on the internet. There's a lot of information out there. This is just what I happen to use. Right now, I'd ask Nancy Dunnewin if she would share about freezing, because she does some freezing.
Yes. Back to the applesauce. I was going to tell a little quick story. I thought that I would be really smart. I live on a country road that goes by the river, and there's a lot of wild apple trees there, so I thought, I'm just going to collect some of these wild apples, and I'll make applesauce with that. And apparently I got one of those trees that wasn't quite ready. The applesauce was okay, but it was it wasn't real tasty like the nice big juicy apples were. So, yeah, it is important. Freezing, you have your berries. I'll tell you, I work a lot. I mean, I'm very busy all day long, and so I look for quick, big, easy things to do. And I take blueberries, and they're one of the easiest things to freeze, because all you do is you take your blueberries. If you buy them already picked, that's even better. Or you can pick them, and then just throw them in a bag. And Ziploc them, put them in the freezer, and then when you're ready to use them, you take out the amount that you want, and you rinse them then. So that way you don't have to do any drying or anything. But with freezing vegetables especially, like corn and peas and beans and things, it deactivates the enzyme, and enzymes are what will cause, the enzymes continue to work on the food, it will lose its taste, it can get kind of tough, and so you want to deactivate the enzymes, and so you're going to want to blanch. When you blanch, you're going to stick it in some water and boil it for a while. In the book, it'll tell you each item how long, but we're going to say approximately about 3 minutes. And then you cool it after that quickly, and then you dry them, like pat dry, a little towel or something. And then you put it in your containers and stick it in the freezer. And it's very simple. Potatoes work best in cold storage. That's one of the foods that you want to put in a cold storage, like onions or something like that. But I did try, I have a French fry cutter. So I ran through the French fry cutter, I chopped them up really good, made little diced potatoes, and I had those blanched, and I stuck them in the freezer, and when I pulled them out, they were still white and pretty, and we had hash browns. So you can do that. Freezing is a good, quick way to do things right away. You want to think about the long term for freezing. If the power goes out, sometimes you can get dry ice or things to keep it going. If you have a full freezer, it will last several days, actually. You probably, a lot of you know that, if you don't open the freezer door. But longer term, especially if you don't live in a cold climate, want to think about that. What's my situation? What's my power source? Is freezing going to be the best thing for me? Don't have a huge full thing of freezer of food, and then if you don't have a backup power source or something else to keep it going. So sort of think about it, and it's individual, what will work best for you. I'm going to talk a little bit about dehydrating right now. And with dehydrating, you don't have to have any kind of power source or anything like that as far as keeping it. You do have to have a power source if you want to use a regular conventional dehydrator. Nancy are going to be peeling and coring some apples. I've just been peeling apples with my daughter and dehydrating them lately. So we've been doing a lot of this. And sometimes you can peel the fruit, or you can leave the peeling on. You get a lot more nutritional value if you leave the peeling on. Sometimes it's kind of nice when the peeling's off, it's not quite so tough, so you can do it both ways and get a variety. I wanted to talk about dehydrators a little bit. There's all different kinds of dehydrators that you can get. And if you look online or go to the store, you'll find a whole variety. This one is the Excalibur. And they say that this one is a very good dehydrator. I've heard a lot of rave comments about the Excalibur. My neighbor has one and she just loves it. This tray, of course, come out, but they have a little plastic thing on them as well, which is really nice, because once you put your fruit on these trays, they stick to it. And if you can just peel this tray right off, and then you can kind of bend it and peel your fruit off of that, and it works really nice. You don't want to spend a ton of time trying to pick your fruit off trays. So this is a very nice one. Now, I happen to have a different kind than this. I have a round one. Which works very nice as well, and it has those little plastic things that come right off. Mine is called, I think, American Harvest. Yeah, I have a little book that goes with it. And I really like that. There's two most important things that you need to have when you have a good dehydrator. You need to have a temperature gauge, because different things are dehydrated at a different temperature.
And you need to have a fan. So when you plug it in, a little fan needs to come on to circulate the air. Those are the two most important things. So you can get a very expensive dehydrator, you can get a cheaper one. The cheaper ones probably take a little longer to dehydrate, but you have to have those two things. My grandma had a dehydrator that did not have a fan, and the food basically just sat there and molded because there was nothing to keep that air circulating. It took a long time to dehydrate. So the air movement makes it go quicker. Now there's other ways that you can dehydrate. You can sun dehydrate out in the sun, and people do that. There's a friend of mine, when she bought her place in the country, somebody had already built racks above the wood-burning stove, and they dehydrated that way. And the circulation in the room helps to dry the fruit as well as the wood stove. So there's different ways that you can do it depending on your power source. You want to get good quality fruit. If there's bad spots on it, sometimes you can cut that out, but it might still leave that moldy taste in there, so want to make sure you get it all out, or just don't use it. Just use good quality fruit. Fruits, you can peel them, you can leave them unpeeled. And vegetables, the same for freezing as for drying. It's better if you blanch them first. The dehydrating time goes quicker, and they taste better, and it works a lot better when you reconstitute them. I've had a lot of fun in the summertime dehydrating all kinds of things. We had a big garden, and so I was giving stuff away, and we were eating stuff that you can't eat, everything that your garden produces. And so we had to, think of different things to do. And so I dried onions and peppers and cabbage and carrots and tons of things. And it really turns out nice because then you can just grab a handful of all these dried things. You can take it backpacking with you, or you can keep it for your emergency supply food and mix it with some noodles or something and add some seasonings, and it makes a wonderful soup. It's very tasty. Sometimes I think that even tastes better after it's been dehydrated because it kind of concentrates the flavor. You do inactivate the enzymes because you have to preserve the food, and that is, the raw food of course is better because it has all those enzymes in there, but you need to preserve the food as well, and so that's a compromise that you have to take. But you still have a lot of vitamins and minerals left in the food that you dehydrate, so it's very nutritious. Okay, let's see, is there anything else I wanted to tell you about that? Different times to dehydrate. One thing, though, about these apples, you need to soak fruit that's going to turn brown. You need to soak it in some sort of solution to help it from browning. Vitamin C, ascorbic acid. There's different ways that you can do it, and books will tell you. I like to use pineapple juice or orange juice. It's easy, it's on hand. And so I'm going to do that. I'm just going to dump some pineapple juice. It's unsweetened. It's pineapple juice and ascorbic acid, vitamin E and vitamin A in this. And we're just going to soak these apples for about 5 minutes in this pineapple juice.
And I can tell you that the dried apples that were soaked in the pineapple were the best I had ever tasted. I tried doing some apples without doing that, and they were a little tough. But these almost like melted in your mouth.
Recently, Allison and I have been doing Fuji apples, and they turn out really nice. Okay, so these are going to soak here for about 5 minutes, and then after that, we're going to put them on the tray. Maybe by the end of the day, we'll have some apple slices that you can have to sample. Okay, drying time varies for all different kinds of things. You just read in the book. Your dehydrator will come with a little manual. A lot of times I found it goes, the drying time maybe is a little bit longer for some of the things. There are so many variables. It's how thick you cut it, it's how juicy your fruit was, all that kind of stuff. So you just follow the directions, but the good test is you break the food open, you kind of squeeze it. If you see beads of moisture coming out, then it still needs to go longer. If you don't see any beads of moisture, it can still be soft, but if there's no moisture, then it's good. You let it cool off before you do that test, and then you're good to go. There are different ways of packaging it. We're out of time, but you can put it in freezer bags, Ziploc it. I do that a lot with mine. You can get a vacuum sealer
I have to be careful because sometimes dry things tend to be a little hard. And so I've had some of my vacuum packed seal things pop open on me. Sometimes I double bag them and then vacuum pack them. You can put them in buckets. We're going to be talking about storage in buckets a little bit later on this afternoon. You want to keep them dark. A lot of times if you've left the skin on your fruits or vegetables, stick them in the freezer for 48 hours. That makes sure that they won't get infested if they have had insect infestation on the skin. And you don't want them to go wormy. So stick them in the freezer. That'll kill anything that maybe you didn't get washed off or that got on there while it was drying. And store them. I've had dry things for a long time. We've enjoyed them. And if you haven't done it, I would like to encourage you to try it. It's great. And we just keep adding to our collection. So if we don't eat everything up that winter after we've done our food preparation that summer and fall, we just save it, and you can save things for several years. You know, they're all different kinds of costs, and I don't know. I don't even remember what I paid for them, but you can go online. There's all different prices. The Excalibur, I think, may be a little more expensive. It's a very good one. My American Harvest probably wasn't as expensive as that one, but it's a very good one as well.
You can get a pretty good dehydrator for about $50 and on up from there.
Question.
Yes,
yeah,
question over here.
How long does it last, being dehydrated? And what potatoes do you pack them in? What
Well, you can do the Ziploc bag. You can do the seal pack.
Repeat the question.
He wanted to know how long the things will last and how you pack them.
And what packaging?
And I do it either in Ziploc bags or in vacuum pack bags or in buckets. And you can use Mylar bags, and I'll show that later on. You can pack your dry things in Mylar bags and seal them in a bucket. And you'll have, and keep it cool and dark, and it'll extend the shelf life a long time. I don't know exactly how long each thing will keep, but I know I've had things for years that I have dehydrated. Some things do get a little wormy. I've had trouble with peppers and tomatoes, but my fruit has done very well.
What about the ones that are already, there's some stores that already have them in packages.
Yeah, you can do that as well. It's more expensive, but yes, that's very good. All right, thank you very much.